ask a Christian, is God a God of blessings, a God who wants to bless his people? And likely their answer will come in two parts. The theory, well, of course the Bible says God wants to bless us. And the practice, but you know, somehow I don't see much blessing in my life. The theory and the practice. What's going on? Hi, I'm Bernie Diamond, and welcome again to the program. Today we're continuing our look at God's amazing promises from a different perspective. And please do stick with me, because in just a few minutes I'll be telling you about our free daily devotional, Fresh, to help you actually live in the blessings that God has for you. Well, over these last couple of weeks, we've been on a journey into the blessings of God. Because I think sometimes we lose sight of the importance of God's blessings. We think somehow that God's blessing is like, well, like the icing on the cake. You know, if we do really, really well, then God will bless us. Or like a special birthday gift. God might bless me from time to time. Or, I know I've been rebelling against you, God. I know I'm living my life not honoring you, but I need you to bless me anyway. In other words, it's so easy to get the wrong idea about God's blessing, either that God wants to bless us in some sporadic, despotic way, or that he's some sugar daddy who will shower us with trinkets and baubles to satisfy our every desire. And as I said last week, Christians especially get a bit twitchy when they hear some preacher rabbiting on, thumping the pulpit, raising his voice, crying out, God wants to bless you. Why? Because it's easy for us to superimpose a selfish, worldly perspective on this whole notion of God's blessing and come up with completely the wrong answer. So today, even though we've been journeying with Ruth and Naomi through the Old Testament book of Ruth on their road to God's blessing, and we're going to be doing that again next week and the week after today, well, we're just going to take a pause here to make sure that we have the right ideas about exactly what blessing, God's blessing, is really all about. So let me ask you to survey your life the way it is right now. All the good things, the mundane things, and the things, frankly, that you kind of wish you weren't going through just at the moment. You wish you didn't have to deal with them. Even your past, the last 12 months, the last few years, your life as a whole. As you weigh all the things that you've been through and all the stuff you're going through, as you weigh your prospects for the future even, let me ask you this question. Do you believe that God is a God who wants to bless you? Well, can I tell you something? Something that makes me really sad as I chat with people who believe in Jesus, people who've given their lives to him. I've come to the conclusion that the response of a great majority of those people goes something like this. Well, you know, I believe that the Bible says that God wants to bless us. Yeah, it says that. And I believe that God wants to bless us. I see God blessing other people. But as I look at my life, my circumstances, it just doesn't seem like he wants to bless me that much. And my hunch is that many, many people listening today relate exactly to that response. How about you? It's not that we don't believe the theory that God is a God who wants to bless us, but somehow we can't quite see how it's meant to have been working out in practice in our lives, in the situations we're facing right now. And that, in many respects, is the point of us spending 4 weeks journeying with Ruth and Naomi on the road to God's blessing. Because you have to say, so far, and we're fully halfway through their story, it doesn't look fantastic. Their husbands are dead. Their destitute widows return from Moab back to Israel, to Bethlehem, Naomi's hometown, because she's an Israelite, a foreign land for Ruth, her daughter-in-law, because she's a Moabite. Widows, no husbands to provide for them or to protect them. And so far, all that seems to have happened is that God's given them a bit of barley and wheat, and Ruth has gone along and picked up the leftovers from the harvest. Does God really, really want to bless them on this journey? We're in the middle of something like that, on a difficult journey. Man, it feels as though God doesn't want to bless us at all. But instead of waddling in the woe is me thing with the disasters that have befallen them, Ruth's been off working hard in the field, and the favour of God has fallen on her through a distant relative of Naomi's, a wealthy landowner by the name of Boaz. He's helped her along the way so she can glean plenty of grain from the field. And so significant is that blessing that when Ruth comes home after a hard day's labour, Naomi, her mother-in-law, is astounded. Let's have a look. Ruth chapter 2, beginning at verse 17. So Ruth gleaned in the field until evening. Then she beat out what she'd gleaned, and it was about an ephah of barley. She picked it up and came into town, and her mother-in-law saw how much she'd gleaned. Then she took out and gave her what was left over after she herself had been satisfied. Her mother-in-law said to her, "Where did you glean today? And where have you worked? Blessed be the man who took notice of you." So she told her mother-in-law with whom she had worked, and she said, "The name of the man with whom I worked today was Boaz." Then Naomi said to her daughter-in-law, "Blessed be the Lord, whose kindness has not forsaken the living or the dead." Naomi also said to her, "The man is a relative of ours, one of our nearest kin." Then Ruth the Moabite said, "He even said to me, 'Stay close by my servants until they have finished all my harvest.'" Naomi said to Ruth, her daughter-in-law, "It is better, my daughter, that you go out with his young women, otherwise you might be bothered in another field." So she stayed close to the young women of Boaz, gleaning until the end of the barley and the wheat harvests, and she lived with her mother-in-law. You see, in all these difficult circumstances, the older woman Ruth, the Israelite, the one who'd been worshipping the God of Israel all her life, what did she see? She saw God's hand at work. She saw the blessing of the Lord, and that encouraged her and gave her strength. That's what's going on here. How often do we focus on the bad stuff going on in our lives and we completely miss the blessings that God is pouring out on our lives? One of the most powerful, the most succinct statements of God's intent to bless his people comes from the book of Deuteronomy in the Old Testament. Have a listen to this. It is truly powerful stuff. Deuteronomy chapter 28, beginning at verse 1. "If you will only obey the Lord your God by diligently observing all his commandments that I am commanding you today, the Lord your God will set you high above all the nations of the earth. All the blessings shall come upon you and overtake you if you obey the Lord your God. Blessed shall you be in the city, and blessed shall you be in the field. Blessed shall be the fruit of your womb, the fruit of the ground, and the fruit of your livestock, both the increase of your cattle and the issue of your flock. Blessed shall be your basket and your kneading bowl. Blessed shall you be when you come in, and blessed shall you be when you go out. The Lord will cause your enemies who rise up against you to be defeated before you. They shall come out against you one way and flee before you seven ways. The Lord will command the blessing upon you in your barns and in all that you undertake. He will bless you in the land that the Lord your God is giving you. The Lord will establish you as a holy people, as he has sworn to do, if you keep his commandments and walk in his ways." See the mighty heart of God here to bless his people? Not just a little bit now and then, but a lot all the time. Now, of course, there's a link there between blessing and obedience, and that's something we're going to take a closer look at next week. Because the whole point of the Old Testament is Israel struggled and ultimately failed at this whole obedience thing, which is why there's a New Testament, a new way, the way of grace, rather than the rule of law. And for you and me, since we live under grace and not under the law, it's important for us to understand this. But as this week draws to a close, the one thing I want to leave you with is this. God is a God who commands his blessing upon his people. And that's not just other people. It's you and it's me. Before we go, I'd like to tell you about our free daily devotional that I'd love to send you to help you draw even closer to God. It's called Fresh, a powerful scripture verse, together with some words of inspiration, hope, and encouragement delivered right to the inbox on your smartphone, tablet, or computer each and every day. You can read it, listen to the audio, or even watch the daily video. It's completely free. God's Word, fresh for you today. To get instant access, just stop by our mobile-friendly website, ChristianityWorks.com. You'll see the Fresh e-devotional sign-up right there at the top of the homepage. And when you do subscribe, you'll instantly receive a copy of the free ebook, How Can I Hear God Speak to Me? That web address again, in case you missed it, is ChristianityWorks.com. So go ahead, sign up to receive Fresh, and may your heart be touched and transformed as you draw ever closer to Jesus through his word. I'm Bertie Diamond. I'll catch you again, same time on Monday, with a different perspective.